opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
All right, here we are on our Wednesday Hump Day edition here, bringing you up to date on some information that just came in about InfoWars and what happened there. A federal judge has decided that he is going to block The Onion's attempted purchase of Alex Jones's InfoWars network. And, of course, he looked at the trustee and said, dude, you left a lot of money on the table. So the bankruptcy court fully well intends on seeing that the InfoWars network, which includes the InfoWarsStore.com, is going to be liquidated. That does not stop Alex from continuing on his mission to keep us all informed, as he usually does. Alvin Bragg may be facing a lot more than just a black eye, given what the jury did in the Daniel Penny case. He finally granted his first post-acquittal interview yesterday defending the actions. And he said Jordan Neely was just threatening to kill people. And, of course, the guilt he would have felt if someone did get hurt, if he did do what he was threatening to do, I would never be able to live with myself, Penny said. And I'll take a million court appearances and people calling me names and people hating me just to keep one of those people from getting hurt or killed. And, of course, then he went on to attack Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA, politically motivated, beholden to policies that have clearly not worked. But, see, that's New York for you. They keep electing him, or somebody's stealing the election in his favor. Something's happening there. We don't know. I mean, if you're going to let guys like Luigi Mangione, I mean, come on. You really want to go after somebody there? Alvin!
Okay.
Yeah, remember that? The chipmunks? There you go. Oink, oink, Alvin. That's what we should call him. He looks like he's been visiting churches too much. Oh, now that wasn't, I know that wasn't nice, but hey, you know what? Every time I look at this guy, I get disgusted. And I don't mean to nitpick, but see, his political ideologies have totally screwed the city of New York. Set a very bad example for the rest of the country. You remember what they say about, you know, one bad apple? Man, you gotta love that. I mean, what would happen if Daniel Penny, you know, people in a situation like him, and then you've got, of course, the New York branch of the BLM saying, oh yeah, we gotta put black vigilantes on board the subways. Yeah, to do what? You know, Kurt Sliwa, I mean, you know, that what they were doing there with the red berets, you know, that wasn't enough. I mean, the thing is it was there, they were there to keep the peace. Not sit there looking for, you know, people to go beat up. So BLM's just totally off the rails. But, you know, what would Penny have done if Jordan Neely would have gotten on that and started knifing people and he just stood there and go, well, I'm not going to go after this Jordan Neely type again because it got me in trouble. So I'm just going to let him stab a few people and kill a few people on the subway. How about that? And then he could sit there and say, do something, help me. Oh, no, I can't do that because Alvin Bragg will prosecute me. You see, if we have people that think like that, and not like the way Daniel Penny was thinking, then this country's in trouble. But, you know, I mean, they go out and they give everybody ideas on YouTube. Seriously, you look at YouTube, they do all of these different little, I don't know what you want to call them, little charades, little gimmicks. They have some woman that looks like she's in trouble she drops her purse and everything spills all over the place and people just continue to walk by. You know, or they're in some sort of a dilemma where, you know, somebody could come to their rescue, but, you know, everybody just ignores them and walks by. See, that's not Daniel Penny. So, you know, you can be the Daniel Penny or you can just be like everybody else who just walks by the woman when she's in trouble. That's just the way it is. You know, this is what our society has become, especially in the major cities. And by the way, Nancy Mace, sorry about that. You need to watch which restroom you walk into. And I'm talking about the attack on her, not Mitch McConnell's falling. Yeah, the guy is going to stay in power Mitch McConnell wants to stay right where he is until his term ends in 2027. Or until he dies first. I really think that his mind is going. And people whose mind is going, I mean, if he's going to be like the current president of the United States, whose mind we already know is gone, I mean, he's a puppet. So is McConnell in my book. But, you know. But then Nancy Mace was reportedly assaulted by an LGBTQ. That's Let's Get Biden to Quit, for those of you who forget the acronym and how it's some sort of translation to remember the acronym LGBTQ. It's Let's Get Biden to Quit. That'll never happen. I mean, he did as far as the race goes, and look who they put in. Of course, Nancy Mace said that this trans activist caused injuries that required her to wear a brace. She was physically accosted at the Capitol tonight by a pro-trans man, she wrote on X last night. One new brace for my wrist and some ice for my arm, and it'll heal just fine. The Capitol Police arrested the guy. Your trans violence and threats in my life will only make me double down. Police arrested and interviewed a suspect just over an hour before Mace's tweet and charged him with assaulting a government official. See, they don't want to play nice. You know, Mace, of course, became one of the Democrats' least favorite politicians last month when she introduced a bill banning men from using congressional women's restrooms. You get men who say that they're trans, that want to use what gender they believe they have, going into a congressional woman's restroom and getting tempted to even place a hand on them. Doesn't matter whether they're doing it out of love or whatever. Even putting a hand on a back or a shoulder and saying, oh, honey, it's okay. I really think you need to change your mind about this bill you introduced. That would be considered assault because she didn't ask for you to touch. You're no worse than a pedophile. But then now we have somebody who is a member of Congress now that thinks he's a she. We're really going to have to do something to clean up this mess, folks. We can't sit idly by and let just D.C. run amok now, can we? Well, yeah, we can. Turning into business news, Amazon is selling cars now, believe it or not, just Hyundais, but still. They officially launched its Amazon Auto service yesterday, empowering online shoppers in 48 U.S. cities to buy exclusively Hyundai vehicles from participating dealers. They can also finance their purchases, schedule pickups, and trade in existing cars, all from within the Amazon site or app. But be careful. People are watching. They know those credit cards. Chinese are hacking. Amazon plans to add more manufacturers next year. But until then, it hopes you will consider procuring a 2025 Elantra SE in Serenity White the next time you're stocking up on toilet paper. God, I love the way they write these articles. Walgreens, by the way, is in talks to go private. They don't want to be on the market anymore. They're struggling. They want to sell itself to the private equity firm Sycamore Partners after it hit a market value of $100 billion in 2015. Their stock has steadily sunk as its pharmacy and retail businesses deal with a host of issues. The company is only worth about $7.5 billion today. Sycamore, which bought Staples in 2017, could ultimately sell off parts of the Walgreens business, according to the Wall Street Journal. Amazing how that works, huh? I'll tell you that this is a thing. It's not going to go away, this thing we got going on with the economy right now. It isn't going to go away. People need to start looking inward at their own situations and deciding exactly how they want to approach a lot of different things, like healthcare, you know? What are you going to do about that? Look at the cost of Medicare is going up next year too, right? And then, of course, you know, those of you who are in need of meds, if you trust modern medicine that much, and you think that all of a sudden you might have to change your supplemental insurance out there. You see, it's a real racket because, you know, most of you, if you know anything about insurance, and I'm not talking about what happened to the guy, the CEO from United Healthcare, has nothing to do with that issue. But a lot of people are reacting to it, some negatively, some indifferent. The problem is that, you know, killing a CEO is not going to stop your own health problem. I mean, if there is one, you have to look inward and decide the best way to fix it. You want to change your diet? I mean, what do you want to do? You want to not take those drugs? Why do you trust your doctor? I have a hard time with it. Why don't you? Why do people believe everything their doctor tells them and rely on that? And then they end up dead because of medical malpractice. Yeah, you can't sue when you're dead, right? We'll discuss the Kroger-Albertsons merger facing setbacks in the courts when we get back from the break. Stay with me.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, we are back. 18 minutes after the hour, talking about Kroger Albertsons. The courts are stepping in and saying, nope, sorry, you guys are competition. They are blocking this proposed merger. The two supermarket chains want to divest of some of their stores, sell them off to other people, but they want to merge and become one. Oregon District Judge Adrian Nelson and Washington's King County Superior Court Judge Marshall Ferguson both said the merger would have anti-competitive effects. You see, when you get that big, it's very difficult because the companies said that they were going to divest more than 500 stores to C&S Wholesale Grocers. Oh, Lord knows what those grocery stores would look like after the makeover C&S would give them. You know, it's all about making money. And how many of you know about the grocery business? I was in the grocery business for a time. How many of you know about it? That was one of the many jobs that I had when I realized that I was an entrepreneur and needed to work for myself. There's a lot of you out there that can't hold a job and you're sitting there beating yourself up over it. Well, maybe that's because you need to be your own boss. This is why I've been encouraging people like me to form your own LLC and go into business for yourself. I mean, you get the write-offs. Heck of a lot better than just being a sole proprietor. You're going to get beat up. The IRS just loved to audit me when I was a sole proprietor. I haven't been audited since I formed an LLC. Huh. Imagine that. That people are just going to go on about their business and ignore what I just said. It's all right. Do what you want. It's free country. God gave you free will. The House of Representatives, by the way, is trying to push through an 1,813-page bill reconciling their differences within the National Defense Authorization Act proposals. $895.2 billion in defense discretionary spending. Discretionary means maybe we will, maybe we won't. Discretionary spending. Now, see, this is where I think that Musk and Ramaswamy are going to have a field day. I mean, seriously. The DOD requested one figure. They gave him $5.7 billion more. We're talking about the Department of Defense. Now, why would they have to do that in the first place? Well, because Biden gave away all our stuff to Ukraine. Biden likes to fund wars along with all those other, you know, Congress people out there that are making money off defense contract stocks. And don't tell me they're not. Because if they want to sue me, I get discovery. Do you get the message? You know, I made a statement. I said, I think that they're all engaging in it. I mean, look what Pelosi's are doing. There's a prime example. You know, Nancy Pelosi, the one that the Michael Jackson wannabe on a bad makeup day. Come on, you know who I'm talking about here. And what was the issue with BlackRock? Remember everybody was sitting there talking about BlackRock and how the fact, you know, BlackRock went online and said, we are not taking people's homes. And I say bullpucky to that. BlackRock, man, created all sorts of deals this year. It may continue as the world's largest asset manager, opportunistically looking to further expand in private credit, real estate, infrastructure, or possibly private equity. Think about that. And then they say, oh, no, we're not buying people's foreclosed homes. Like hell they're not. BlackRock spent $28 billion this year to strengthen its private market offerings. Yeah, you can thank Larry Fink for that. He wants to position the firm as a conduit for private capital into global infrastructure projects at a time when the government is tightening up on budgets and rising public debt. So now we have private credit, which involves non-bank institutions providing loans to companies. Think about what I just said. They've experienced significant growth in recent years due to stricter regulations that have increased the cost for traditional banks to fund higher risk loans. Now think about that. Think about the private equity firms that go out and fund these loans and securitize them. How do you think BlackRock got rich? Because they know how to play the securities markets. And they do it with private equity firms. They use them as, well, I can't say shell companies because, I mean, actually you go to these people, but understand that when you go borrow money, you're not actually the borrower in a securitization platform. You're a third-party accommodation to a securitization model. That's what you are. You're an accommodation. You're simply just, hey, look, we got all these people's private information, and we're going to submit that, and we're going to create a bond out of it. I mean, it's bad enough that there's these UCC statements floating around that all claim to tie to every man, woman, and child in the United States in favor of the Federal Reserve. But you see, you have to agree to that. And Obama didn't ask the public's permission when he did the little hopey changey thing back in 2011, getting these UCC liens filed in all 50 states, as I have knowledge. So how can they turn around and lien we the people without our permission? These people, as long as you give them the opportunity to do the hopey changey thing, well, they're going to continue to do it. You know, when you don't stand up and, you know, give them holy hell, when you don't do that, you know, this is what happens to you. And you wonder why the country's dwindling and all the fear mongers are out there screaming the government's trying to steal all this land, and pretty soon you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. How does that work? I mean, just 2 months ago, October, BlackRock finalized $12.5 billion acquisition of investment from Global Infrastructure Partners, anticipates completing a $3.2 billion purchase of private markets data provider Preqin by the year end. The HPS deal is going to create a private credit franchise with about $220 billion in client assets. Now, they're going to turn around, they're going to loan this money out, and they're going to make all the money because it's going to be private. It's like hard money lending, folks. They can ask what they want as far as interest rates. They could do commercial. They could do residential. But you got to wonder how it is that they're able to function in a society that seems to be not doing well. Advance Auto Parts has notified the state of California it is permanently closing 136 stores in that state and one distribution center in San Bernardino County outside L.A. 1,617 employees are going to lose their jobs. They operate more than 4,700 stores in U.S., Canada, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. Their decision to close all the California locations reflects a broader trend of retail closures in the state. Major chains like Rite Aid, Big Lots, Macy's have shut down numerous locations due to financial struggles and shifting consumer behaviors. Now, gee, if you people weren't smart enough to figure out that people are getting fed up with corporatism and your DEI and all your other garbage you're doing, and you have all these sales, it's the merchants of the earth. I mean, people are getting fed up because they can't even put food on the table and keep the lights on. And then you're out there, you know, doing what you do. And then you're laying off people. I mean, that doesn't meet with a whole lot of favor with the public. What does that tell you about shopping at Advance Auto Parts? Huh. Maybe we should shop it through your competitor instead, the ones that aren't laying off people, because then you'd be supporting the economy, not some corporation that's trying to help its bottom line. The company's going to close 523 Advance corporate stores, exiting 204 independent locations, closing four distribution centers. I mean, this is what's going on. 500 store closures nationwide. Well, you can't shop at some place like that. What if you wanted to take the part back you bought and it was defective or didn't fit or something was wrong with it? Some other issue. You wanted to take it back and all of a sudden you find out the store's closed. Well, that makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? Maybe we should be shopping at the other auto parts stores instead of Advance Auto, huh? Send a real message. Maybe they'll close all their stores. See, when you start putting your faith in corporatism like this, I mean, being an entrepreneur is one thing, but when you sit there and put your faith in corporatism, I mean, it's no wonder, you know, we have all these problems with McDonald's and everything else and all these recalls and, I mean, Boar's Head shutting down a plant in Virginia and people out of work. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, everybody's complaining that the major leagues are woke. You know, I just wonder, if you were Juan Soto, would you be complaining right now? He signed the richest contract in professional sports history in Major League Baseball. 15-year, $765 million deal with the Mets. That's $51 million a year. Surpassing the 10-year, $700 million contract Shohei Ohtani got from the LA Dodgers last year. Soto, by the way, is deferring none of his contract. Ohtani deferred 97% of it for a decade. Soto won't have to hire movers because he's just, you know, moving from the Mets to the Mets from the Yankees, right? Yeah, the baseball dynamic and the Big Apple has changed. You know, baseball, mom's apple pie and Chevrolet. Remember all that? And of course, if you're New York AG Letitia James, you should be looking over your shoulder. She's not going to let go of the civil fraud case against President-elect Trump, his sons, and his company. She got this $450 million judgment, and she ran on that. And of course, earlier this year, Judge Engoron, Sir Arthur, ordered Trump to pay $454 million in a civil fraud judgment in James's lawsuit against Trump and his company. I really think, Donald, can we have a conversation, Donald? If you are listening, please close Trump Tower, sell off all your New York assets, and get out of there and move everything to Mar-a-Lago. Seriously, move all your businesses to Florida. Get out of New York. It's a losing proposition. We all know that. We'll be back after the news break. John Whitehead joins us from the Rutherford Institute. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
And we're back from the break here at 35 after the hour. As promised, John Whitehead joins us from the Rutherford Institute. I just donated to his cause. You need to as well. Good morning, John. How are you, sir?
Business as usual. Fighting the cases and trying to get America excited again about fighting for freedom and keeping freedom free because in my opinion, we're on the brink of something very, very weird facing us in the future. And I'm telling people, we'll talk about this as we talk about this, but we've got to get our kids educated. We've got to talk about our freedoms, and we've got to wake America up because if not, like I said, we don't have much time for freedom left in this country.
Now, you have basically put out a recent article just a few days ago talking about when rights become privileges, is the Constitution becoming optional? And the thing is that I've been trying to tell people that we live in an Article I administrative state and all the courts are incorporated. Every single one of them is in a different corporation and every single one of them answers to the higher power. And of course, this is all the work of people who incorporated this country into various things using, you know, bait and switch tactics like you talk about in the article that Deep State is using. You've got the State Department scrambling right now to scuttle a $100 million censorship network before Trump comes in. Because, I mean, this is, we're talking about demonetizing outlets. It accuses of spreading disinformation. Well, how do we know? And this is part of the problem, John. And you've been fighting this and other issues in the courts with the Rutherford Institute, folks. This is one of the reasons why, if you don't understand what the Rutherford Institute does, John, first off, before we get any further into this conversation, could you explain what the Rutherford Institute does so people become acquainted if they haven't heard of you before?
Well, I founded the organization over 40 years ago to fight for the cases in the courts, and we fought hundreds of cases in the courts, and I also put out all kinds of articles, and I've written over 30 books now on the Constitution, trying to educate the people. As I always say, education precedes action. And today when you have kids in public schools, by the way, and lawyers, I was at a lawyer's conference not too long ago talking about our cases. I stopped in the middle of my speech and said, By the way, is there any attorneys in this? how many attorneys here in this audience? There was over 200. These are Harvard Yale types. I said, can you give me the five freedoms of the First Amendment? My wife was in the back of the room. She said they were debating it. And then one guy started to raise his hand, and I pointed at him to do it, and he put his head down. And I said, well, maybe I can enlighten you. We have free speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the media, and we have a right to peacefully assemble and petition our government for a redress of grievances. And they just looked at me like, gee, where's this guy come from? And so the point is that they don't know the rights. So now we have these college kids, which is just amazing. Over 70% of college students in a recent survey, listen to this, said that what they call hate speech is more dangerous than physical violence. And what's hate speech? You disagree. Or I don't like you. I don't like your group. And I don't like what you stand for. So they're teaching in the schools today, public schools across the country, basically, I had a high school teacher. They don't teach the Declaration of Independence in their school. And I said, ma'am, that's our founding document. She said, but it's too radical. And I went, oh, it's too radical. What's too radical? Freedom. The freedom to stand up, look at your government official face and say, we're not taking this stuff anymore. We're going to take you down. And that's what the founding fathers did. There was the great writer, Alexis de Tocqueville, who wrote about early America. He said when he came over to America after the Revolution, he said local communities were running everything. There was no national government. There was freedom everywhere. He said, and what blew his mind was how the pastors were active in government. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the Black Regiment, but during the Revolution, they called the preachers the Black Regiment because they would give sermons and then come out open their black robe and pull out their musket and say, it's time to fight for freedom.
This the is Black the Robe of, Regiment. Yep. I remember black them regiment. Well.
Yep. But listen, I'm trying to get people today, anybody out today, to go to a city council meeting and say, we're not taking this stuff anymore in our own community. Because most Americans, they don't know, the 10th Amendment says that local governments should nullify acts of the federal government. If we could get our local communities together, we could start fighting for freedom again. But, you know, like that memo that came out 6 or 7 years ago by the FBI that was leaked, said that we're run by the Seventh Floor Group or the Deep State. What we've allowed, and I've seen it in Washington, D.C., because I've sued in and out there for 40 years, and I've had senators tell me the same thing. They're run by all these very, very wealthy people. There was a great study that came out of Princeton University, by the way, that studied where money congregated in America, United States. They came to the conclusion it was Washington, D.C., and that it was Washington, D.C. was run by what they called an oligarch elite of 585 billionaires. And, I mean, I'm not, you know, again, I see what Donald Trump's all these new people he's appointing. He's appointing all these billionaires, and they have more wealth now, we will be running the government, than 172 countries. And I'm going, what are we headed for? America was founded by the average folks. We want the average folks to be involved, not just people with money and all this stuff. And, again, you know, programs like yours are great. We've got to get out there and speak. Got to get people up, like I say. And we don't have much time, folks, because – I can tell you a few more facts that are shocking, but listen, they don't care about us. Many of the government officials out of D.C. They don't care a darn thing about us.
I was just talking about this morning, about the fact that we need to pay attention to what's going on in our own backyard, because that's the first step in turning things around. Because you go back to Alexis de Tocqueville that you talked about earlier when you were, doing your diatribe here in the front end, talking about what you do and the fact that you're filing all these Amici briefs and whatnot in the courts, trying to stop this nonsense and actually litigating and defending situations where the deep state and government is involved. And, you know, what's sad is that we live in this administrative Article I corporate state, and you have to actually get permission from the government to sue them. Now, where's the redress of grievances in that, John?
I know. I mean, again, I fought the courts, and listen, many of the judges will look at me, and I have a scowl. scowl at me. I'm raising a First Amendment. I had one judge where I said, Judge, I'm raising the key First Amendment issue here. He goes, well, Mr. Whitehead. He looked at me and went, go ahead and spew forth your First Amendment stuff. And I went, where am I at? We're so fortunate to have this. And, I mean, they don't have that in China. They don't have it in Russia. You go across the countries, Ukraine, they don't have any of that stuff. We have it. We should be using it. But it's trying to get people up and get them together and get them out there fighting together. And, you know, it was the great thinker, Henry David Thoreau, early American, who wrote about things. But he said, disobedience is the foundation of freedom. The obedient are slaves. That's it. You can salute, you know, the government. You can bow before them, drop to one knee and all that stuff. But I'm saying, please don't do that. Don't be in America, because without America, there wouldn't be freedom in the world today, in my opinion.
Every time I see somebody wearing a mask in a grocery store, I think, uh-oh, here's one of those types that bends a knee and bows to the government, believes everything the government tells them. But see, that's a lot of Americans out there, John. The problem is they have put so much fear into people, and this, like, war on COVID you talk about in your article, and the so-called war on terror transforming into a police state. But then you have the other side saying defund the police, and it's like, look, there's no happy medium here. You've got two ends of the spectrum fighting each other, and we're in the middle of it. Would that be a fair statement?
That's a fair statement. And with 9/11, this is the key. I tried to alert people then. With 9/11 was the passage of the U.S. Patriot Act, which, by the way, became a law a little over 30 days after 9/11, and there were many people saying, hey, that had to be written before then. It gave the government the right to go into the libraries, your banks, get all your records, and start all this searching stuff what we're seeing today. And, you know, the Department of Homeland Security now is doing threat assessments on homes across America. They go from green to red. And if you have any kind of weapon, you automatically get a red. And I've had cases where some of my clients have said, why were the people the police so agitated when they came to the front door and they were in the wrong home? And it took a lady out in a lot and smashed her face down. And the point was, the police had a bunch of information and a Department of Homeland Security threat assessment on their home. They were ready to come after them. And with 80,000 SWAT team raids occurring across America, and more now with the FBI, by the way, the FBI is showing up people's doors, veterans' doors. A veteran got shot like 6 months ago. He came to the door and opened the door. He didn't have a weapon. The FBI said they thought they saw it. They shot him and killed him.
Yeah, you got to love that. See, and the same thing happened to Brian Malinowski in Little Rock, who actually was the executive director of the Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport. The executive director. And they came to his house with a search warrant, busted at his door at 6:02. At 6:03, the guy's dead with two rounds in his forehead. Folks, we'll be back after this short break to discuss what's happening in our country and how we can fix it. Stay with us.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
And we're back in the last 12 minutes of this segment for today, our hump day edition here in the Krieger Files. You can go to thekriegerfiles.com. Send me a message. Yes, we have Harry Fisher and Lex Green joining us the rest of the week here for the show. But in the meantime, John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute joins us. John, tell people how they can subscribe to your newsletter, which we're referring to in this particular segment, plus how they donate.
You go to Rutherford.org. That's Rutherford.org. We're a nonprofit. Like I said, I've been in business over 40 years, and we do weekly newsletters. You'll see we also do a lot of press releases on our cases and see how we're trying to deal with affecting this country, and we exist off of donations. We defend people who can't afford lawyers and try to get these things changed, but again, it's a long, long battle. And the more people we have supporting us and getting out there and more attorneys enjoying our fight, the better we're going to be able to do.
Well, part of the problem I'm seeing, John, and this is something I just came back from California, and I've got a guy out there that Bank of America, in essence, I'm looking at the documents. I was supposed to go out there and testify at a trial as a fact witness, and they canceled the trial. The judge turned around and screwed the client and did a judgment on the pleadings, and I'm like, what pleadings? The guy filed a motion for dismiss. What pleadings is there? You're in the middle of voir dire. You're getting ready to start picking a jury to bring your case forward to show how Bank of America, you know, filed a bunch of phony documents that the local authorities won't investigate. I mean, this is the sort of thing. This is how they're stealing people's property, and they're letting the banks get away with it because the banks, in my opinion, own the courts. I mean, this is all part of the nonsense that's going on behind the scenes while the government's promised war on illegal immigration. Looks like a sleight of hand because I'm looking at a power grab here, and I've talked about it on the show. You're looking at the Constitution that says one thing, and they say we're going to deport all illegals. Well, anybody that looks like an illegal is going to be profiled. Wouldn't that make sense?
Yeah, well, you know, whether they want to profile or whatever, but, you know, the Constitution, as I tell people, protects persons, and we have to really be careful of what we're saying and doing. And my two books that I wrote recently, A Government of Wolves and Battlefield America, I go into how Nazi Germany used that kind of plan where they would pick on one segment of the population, another segment of the population. They opened the concentration camps up, and people were very, very happy with it. They, you know, they put them in the camps and put them to work, and they'll make money. You know, they become like private prisons. And all of a sudden, Nazi police are at their door arresting them. So we have to be very, very careful. And also, under George W. Bush, if people remember, he gave a lot of money to the Halliburton Corporation to build the concentration camps way back about 27 years ago. And what happened was a former NSA agent who visited me, who was all shocked about what he's seeing in America and was quitting the job there, said that, John, he said the concentration camps are here. They're on the military bases and other places. They're ready to go. And so, listen, be very, very careful about how you take stands on certain issues, and be sure you're reading the Constitution very, very carefully. And know that, you know, we all have a right to free speech. We all have a right to have our homes protected against police surveillance and police attacks and crashing through our doors. And on down the line, and that's the way we're going to protect freedom, in my opinion. If we're looking at protecting anyone we can who needs help, and I mean, if the people out there that are Christians, that's what Jesus Christ did. He was willing to help anyone, and he got in a lot of trouble, as we know, it was stuck to a cross. And that's a part of another thing that's important here. All the great freedom fighters that I've seen, not all of them, but many of them, they all either ended up in jail or somewhere or gone, a concentration camp over history, and because they stood for freedom. But I've told people this. I'd rather stand for freedom than to duck and let someone else go into the prison so I can go back to my job or what am I going to do and worship the government. And so we've got to really, really be careful. And, again, I would study some of the documents we have on what the Constitution means, what it means. We have a special Constitution section on our website at Rutherford.org that you can go in and study. And, again, this is something I had to keep preaching about because I'm so worried. And when I talk to young people today and even young lawyers and people across the country, they have no idea what our Constitution says or means. And, boy, I tell you, if we're not educated on those issues, we're going to falter completely, in my opinion.
Well, they need to bring it back into the schools, and that's for sure. I mean, now that
you know how they're going to bring it back to school? That's as if the parents and stuff get together and get down to school board meetings and say, put the Constitution back in our schools and start getting out in front of the schools with picket signs if they're not doing it and really getting key here because, in my opinion, James Madison, who wrote our Bill of Rights, said we ought to mistrust all those people in power. And that's it. Don't trust anybody. It's all wake up, folks. Over the centuries, look at all corrupt governments, one after another. And what we want is a government at least have some, a few people in there, and the only way they're going to do it and stand for freedom is if the American people stands up for freedom. And that means you're going to have to get up off your butt. The average American watches 150 hours of television a month. I'm going, please, get back off of that so-called programming news channel that you're watching, and many of them are programmer channels. They're there to program you. And get up and get down to your local city council meetings and stuff and school board meetings and take this country back. It's going to take local governments, people with the ability to get up and speak and get together, you know. We can do it. But if we don't do it, I feel sorry for your children, folks.
Yeah, for sure. And this is a thing. We're talking about the fact that the Texas Land Commissioner just put out there over 1,400 acres down by the border to house all of these illegals that they're rounding up for deportation. And many of them are probably going to end right back up in the United States again. And this thing about, you know, we talk about building a wall. And when you get into that, if you're a Republican, you want that wall built. If you're a Democrat, you don't want the wall built. We have a two-party system that has turned into a uniparty that is controlled by the deep state. And they're now, you're like you said at the beginning of the show, John, Scott Bessent is going to be, the guy's a hedge fund manager, and he's been nominated to serve as Secretary of the Treasury. We already have a fiat money system in this country that everybody depends on to survive, which is one of the reasons why we have a lot of our listeners out there buying gold and silver and stocking up on stuff like that, because they just are losing faith in the federal government. The will of we the people is the only thing keeping the dollar bill alive right now. And then when you have corrupt judges, I mean, we have a real problem with the courts out there now, to the point where we're starting to see a lot of pro se litigants trying to defend themselves, and they're actually suing judges. And this is something that an attorney would not do for fear of losing their bar card. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. 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 It's, well, listen, another thing about the so-called illegal immigration, people coming across the border, I'll be honest with you, I think much of that was allowed. Come on, it doesn't make sense, most of it. And
no.
Don't believe all the phony crap you hear on, like, I keep telling people, if you're watching a lot of the major news channels, come on, every time I try to watch one, I have to turn it off. I see there's five people on a panel that's supposed to be debating, they all agree on the same thing at the beginning of the show.
It sounds like The View.
This is not a debate. This is not a debate. It's a programmer. But see, the point is, there are a lot of publications out there, website like ours, your website, others that you go on, and read the information and get the truth and start shooting back to the government. But see, the government doesn't want that. They do not want that. So they want you to sit there, watch your TV, and then when it comes time for the COVID problem, they'll lock you in your home, like they did this last time.
So you really think there's going to be another issue like this? You think that they're going to all of a sudden try to figure out some sort of excuse to lock down the country again?
Oh, I think they would like to lock down the country, yeah. They sure would, yeah. I mean, they already tried. They only did it once, and they could do it again. You know, listen, they do it by creating fear. It's one of the great thinkers said, fear creates the stupid people. Stop being afraid of the government.
you are the government,
by the way.
Bingo.
You are the government. I keep saying, folks, it's the Constitution starts with we the people. Wait a second. If the Constitution starts with we the people, do ordain and establish this government, well, who's the government? We're the government. They're our representatives. Make them be your representatives. And here's the other thing. When was the last time you saw your U.S. congressman or senator come into your community and hold a meeting with the community? You should make them do that every quarter.
Makes sense. You know, this is the thing. People don't think about stuff like this because we're too busy just trying to survive. I mean, that's all by design, too, isn't it?
I agree. Yeah, it is. It's the programming. They know, listen, Obama admitted it. He used marketing people. Okay, what he called nudging the people. That's the phrase he used. They nudge the people.
Wow. So, I mean, the thing is now, this defund the police and we need more police. I mean, I drive around with the sheriff's sticker on the back of my truck, and it's amazing how law enforcement respects you when you support them. But you have to support them in a way that they're going to do the right thing.
Yes.
I appreciate you, John Whitehead. Rutherford.org is the website. Folks, I've already supported John this year. You need to do the same. Make your tax-deductible donation to the Rutherford Institute at Rutherford.org. Sir, it's been a pleasure having you on. It's always nice to talk about somebody who believes in the Constitution, willing to fight for it.
Thank you.
God bless you for the work you're doing. In the meantime, folks, we will have Harry Fisher on tomorrow on the Krieger Files. Lex Green joins us on Friday. In the meantime, go out, study the Constitution so you can answer the question John asked on the show. And in the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.